vegetables, and you will succeed and prosper. Now, just for a couple of hours tonight, I want to give you, as time provides, some very important principles. Number one tonight is the principle of humility. I like the story about a woman who went to her pastor one Sunday, and she said, "I'm just overcome with guilt." And he said, "Well, what is it?" And she said, "Well, every time I come to church, I just feel like I'm the most beautiful woman in the building." And the pastor said, That's not a sin, that's a terrible mistake." You know, the mama whale said to the baby whale, "Remember, it's when you go to the top and start blowing that you get harpooned." We're talking about the principle of humility. Above all other things, God hates pride. The devil is pride incarnated. God resists the proud, the Bible says, but he giveth grace to the humble. Pride brings with it a paralyzing effect. Pride keeps people from apologizing. Have you ever known anybody, and please don't look around tonight, but just they never can say, "I'm sorry." They'll never admit that they were wrong. That's what pride does. It keeps people from admitting that they were wrong. If you're unfortunate enough to be married to somebody like that, don't look around now. But if you're unfortunate to be married with somebody like that, you're in a bad situation. It's terrible, and it's pride that causes people from ever admitting, "I was wrong." It's amazing the arguments that can be defused when we're just willing to say, "I'm sorry. I know that I didn't do that right." Pride keeps marriages from reconciling. One woman said, "My husband said he needed more space, so I locked him outside." Preacher, I've seen big men, big strong men, turn to wet noodles at weddings. One man said, "I take thee to be my awful wife." And then he said, "Can I cuss the bride?" And the preacher said, "That'll come later." It is pride that keeps marriages from reconciling. It is pride that holds back revival. It is pride that puts you in a circle with Satan. It is pride that destroys churches. It is pride that destroys nations. It is pride that can disqualify you from the service of the Lord. Pride is like poison running through your life. Pride wastes years. And God hates pride. Not the right. There's good pride that causes us to try to be decent and look as good as we can when we go out, and that kind of pride. But the bad pride, the sinful pride that does so much harm to so many people. There's some things that I really detest, and one thing is super pious preachers that want to give an impression like they're just above everything. And boy, we've seen them at fellowship meetings. You know, they come in a little bit late, and they carry their Bible instead of like this. You know, they carry it up here. You've seen them. They carry it up here like this, and they come in, and they always walk slowly down the aisle so everybody will see them real good, and they always go to the front to be seated. They got that look of arrogance, and I've always detested that. You know what? God wants us to be human. He wants us to be common. He wants us to not be big shots. I mean, there's only one person that's the big one, and that's God Almighty himself. The rest of us are just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, at best trying to do what's right. And so there is the problem of the principle of humility. Are you still awake? Say amen. Now, secondly tonight, I want to talk about the principle of integrity. You say, what is integrity? Well, it means that you're trustworthy, that you're honest, that you are of great character. Let me give you some scripture to support that. In Job 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Then in Job chapter 2 and in verse 9 it says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? In Job 27 verse 5, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. Job 31 verse 6, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Psalm 25 verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Psalm 26 verse 1, a psalm of David, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Proverbs 11 and verse number 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressions shall destroy them. Proverbs 19 and verse 1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. I'm going to tell you that God's people, those of us who are saved, born again Christians, ought to live a life of integrity. That can only be done with the help of God. That can only be done by the direction of the Holy Spirit. But we do need to live by principles. We do need to live by proper ethics. If anybody should be ethical, if anybody should operate on an upfront position, if anybody should be able to be trusted, it is God's people. We must have integrity. We need a revival of integrity in America today. We're seeing the ship sink faster than it's ever sunk before. We're seeing the walls close in faster than I dreamed we would see. More so even in just the last few months or year, we've seen the walls closing in. The total breakdown of the family. The total breakdown of morality. We need a revival of morality. We need a revival of there's right and there's wrong. There's good and there's bad. And I'm not at all apprehensive to say to you tonight, the battle that we're having governmental-wise and nation-wise is now between good and evil. Not just right and left, but good and evil. And so we need a revival. You know, Stalin said that all we need to do to take America down is rob her of her patriotism. Brother, I'm patriotic. I still have a thrill when I see the flag waving. That's another thing I like about coming to Texas and all through the Metroplex area, especially some of the car dealers have these great big American flags. And every time I see that flag waving, I'm proud. Listen, I'm proud to be an American. And when one of our presidents, past president's wives said, for the first time in my life, I am proud to be an American. Give me a break. For the first time in my life, I'm proud to be an American. I'm going to tell you what, we need a revival of patriotism. And I thank God for our patriots. I still love to have the Pledge of Allegiance. I still love to hear the Star-Spangled Banner. I still get a chill. I'll tell you what, I just love it. I love to see pregame when they have the standing and taking the hats off and the playing of the national anthem. I still get a thrill out of that. Stalin said, "You take away patriotism, you'll take America down." Stalin said, "If you take away their morality, we will take America will come down. She will rot from within." And that's exactly what we're seeing happen today. But you know what? We don't have to be a part of that. We can be different. I like if being patriotic's different, I'm going to be different. I'm going to vote for people that are patriotic. I'm going to vote for people that love America. I'm going to vote for people that love the Pledge of Allegiance and to the American flag. I'm going to vote for people that care about morality. I'm going to vote for people that believe in letting the police do their jobs. I'm going to vote for people that think that everybody's lives matter and not just this group or that group or the other group. I'm going to vote for people that care about what I care about. Good preaching, Brother Strunk. Good preaching while that rain's coming down and the thunder's roaring and the lightning's flashing. And these Texans are saying, "Oh, hallelujah. I never have seen anybody so happy about rain in my life." And if you don't have enough rain, you will be glad to have it. I'm going to tell you, this has really been exciting. And so we need a revival of integrity and morality in America. And I'm going to vote for people that know that there's the difference is men and women. God created men and women. Isn't it something? Ask some of these people, what is a woman? They can't even answer that question. You talk about stupid. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't talk like that." Well, listen, if you're offended by that, I hope your legs grow together and you get a horse. This is live streamed and I don't care. Don't be nervous about me coming down these steps.
I am.
Go away, I'm good. See, I told you, I got it. Are you still awake?
Amen.
I like you. I saw Warren, isn't it? I saw him come across the parking lot, and I said to a couple of them, "Who is that?" Because I just like the way he looks. But you talk about a good Santa Claus, and he looks good with that beard. See, the Lord was for that. The timing of that was just right. All right, are you still awake? Say amen.
Amen.
Last but not least, we need a revival of gratitude. One of my favorite scriptures, and has been for a long time now, is 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. Especially in the last probably 4 or 5 years, it's been more special to me than it's in the top 10 favorite of my scriptures, where Paul said, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now, he didn't say, "For everything give thanks." Only an idiot would be thankful for everything. But he said, "In everything give thanks." Now remember, when Paul wrote this, he was in prison. He was in shackles. He was in human misery. And yet in those circumstances, he still said, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Now you say, preacher, that's impossible. You know what? God's never going to ask us to do anything that he won't help us do. And I want you to try this. I want you to try this. I want you to try this. Now anybody can give thanks when everything's going good. But when everything's in reverse, and that happens to all of us, like I said yesterday, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield. And when we're the bug, and we get hit and smashed, that's when we find out what we really believe and how much we believe it. And if you practice this thing of no matter what happens, because you see, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are the called according to his purpose. And that means exactly what it says. All things. Are you saved, born again, child of God? Say amen. Amen. That's you. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Amen. That's you. Says that all things work together for good. Not our good. Some things are terribly bad, but they work together for good to all those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. What that's saying is God doesn't make any mistakes. He always does it right. You know, when we worry, and one of the best chapters in the Bible to read, and if you're a worrier, and all of us worry, and some are chronic worries, especially if you're a chronic worrier, read Matthew 6 every day for a while. Just read Matthew chapter 6. It's one of the greatest prescriptions in the Bible for worry. And then accept the fact, folks, that God's got this. He is in control. God's got good, bad, indifferent, whatever. God's got it. He's got a purpose in it. And if we can get a hold of that like we should and get to the place where we absolutely say, you know what, I'm not thankful for this, but in this I'm going to give thanksgiving. In everything, give, because there's something about gratitude that's magical. There's something about gratitude that is lifting. There's something about gratitude that builds. There's something about gratitude that strengthens. There's something about gratitude that is just wonderful. You know, preacher, this thing still works a little bit, and things you hadn't thought about for a long time, God will bring to you. In this evening in the room, I was just reviewing while I was preaching tonight, and it came to me about the story about a pastor that had, in his church, he had a time of testimony meeting and people thanking God for their blessings. And people were just popping up like popcorn. And this one woman stood up and she said, I want to thank God for 2 teeth. And somebody looked up and said, how can you thank him for that? And she said, they meet. Now, you know, I have this vivid imagination. If you don't, I feel sorry for you. But I can see that. I just see those 2 teeth, one on top and one on bottom. And I thought about, I preached for Jimmy Withers, a revival meeting, and over in Aurora, Texas. And we just had a great service one night, and I talked about this thing of gratitude, and I told that about that woman saying, I thank God for 2 teeth. Now, I mean, this actually happened. And when the service was over, I've been on the front, and I started up the aisle, and I got about halfway up the aisle, and she's listening to me. She's really paying attention. And I walked up that aisle, and all at once I heard a voice say, Brother Strunk, just like that, Brother Strunk. And so I turned around, and I looked back, and here stood this woman, and we're live streamed. Here stood this woman, and she was not very well kept. Her hair looked like an explosion in a mattress factory. And your brother's drunk. And I turned back and I said, yes. And she said, I want you to look. And she grinned real big and pointed, and she had 1 tooth. Oh, so help me, right in the middle. 1 tooth she had sticking down. She said, see this? And I said, oh, yeah. Yeah. I said, yeah. She said, see that? I said, oh, yeah, I see it. And she said, they want to take it, but nobody's going to get it. Nobody. They want to take it, but I'm not going to let them get it. Oh, she was thankful for what truth. Boy, I'll tell you what. Hadn't God been good to us? I mean, he's been so good. We have so much to be thankful for. And in everything, give thanks. When it's good, when it's bad, we all have these hurts, and it happens in all of our lives and our families. And I've gotten, Loretta and my wife and I have gotten to where when bad things happen, we say this out loud. We say, you know what? God wants us to give him thanks in this. Because when we don't, we're saying, God, you don't have this. When we don't, we say, God, you've made a mistake in this. And God never makes a mistake. He's always just right. Gratitude. We affect each other by our attitude, our thankfulness. You know, most people just want to be recognized as being a person, and most people just want to be recognized. Something about being thankful. I tell people, listen, my youngest daughter, Shelly, who's a paralegal in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, she's been a paralegal for a long time, and she's smart, and she's pretty like her mama. And Shelly and I made a trip together, and boy, it was great, preacher, about 3 or 4 years ago. We made a trip together, and she said, Dad, everywhere you go, and I do, and it's not put on. If it's put on, it's not worth it. Put on's not worth a warm bucket of spit. Is that a pretty good picture for you? Put on's not worth a warm bucket of spit, but sincere praise is. And I have a policy that maids, and I carry a lot of $5 bills with me and $10 bills, and maids, when I check in hotels, I have a card with my name and ministry and salvation scriptures on it, and I put money in that card. And when I check in, I tell whoever checked me, and I say, I want to buy you a candy bar. And Shelly told me, I can't believe how they light up over that and say, well, you don't have to. No. I just want to buy you a candy bar. And I take a pen and I write inside the card, good work. I do that every hotel I check into. I'll see maids and they're working and you can tell they're struck. And I slip some money in that card and say, you do good. And I tell them, I say, you know what? I'm glad you do what you do, because we'd be in a mess without you, and we would be. Amen. I tell them in the grocery store, the stockers and all that, we go by, and I tell them, I say, hey, thanks for what you do. If you didn't do what you do, we wouldn't have what we have here to access to. I do that. It's automatic with me. I've done that for a long time. I just like to, you know what? I like to be a person that by the grace of God helps make other people feel good. Not the kind of person when you're coming, they turn and go the other way. Like some people spread happiness wherever they go, and some whenever they go. I want to be wherever I go. We affect each other. An attitude of gratitude. Oh, it's a powerful thing. Also in the home and in the marriage. I thank my wife constantly about her cooking, and I say, boy, that was good, honey. Thank you. You fixed that just right. I'm going to tell you what, people that are normal, now if you're not normal, I'll get the horse. but if you're anywhere near normal, you like to be recognized for what you do good. And so I praise my wife for the house she keeps and for the way she does it. You talk about making people, lifting their spirits, just being thankful. Being thankful. Telling the pastor, thank you for what you do. You say, well, he knows we no, you need to tell him. It's like the women. Hey, men, are you listening? Women don't get tired of hearing you say, I love you. Now, I changed that with Loretta because I like something different. I said, back a couple of years ago, I said, let's start saying, I love you. So Loretta and I, when we converse, we say, I love you, honey. You say it, and that's silly. No, it's just kind of special to us. I love you. And so the guy says, well, yeah, you know I love you. I don't need to tell you that. I married you. Oh, you sweet thing, you. You adorable man. You precious man. You are so good. Yeah, I tell you, I don't have to tell you all the time I love, but they never get tired of that. And it just helps when we sow gratitude and thankfulness. Because we affect each other. Well, I'm trying to land this plane. And I want to land it in the right place. You know, I know I told you, but it's just in here, and I got to tell you again. One of my top 10 favorite stories for a long time is about the parade of 100 elephants. Can you see it? 100 elephants. And they go through the intersection, and the last elephant, a guy hits it, runs over with a pickup truck, and kills it. And they sent him a bill for $250,000. And he said, how can one elephant cost that? And the guy said, because it jerked the tail out of 99 others. I love that story. Because I have this imagination, bang, 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 bang. It's a chain reaction, you see. Boom, 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 boom. Because we do affect each other. I affect you, and you affect me. The way I act when I come in that door, I affect people. The way we act when we leave here tonight, we've affected each other, and I want to affect people for good and not for bad. I want to be an upper and not a downer. And thank people when they're a blessing to you. You say, well, they know they're a blessing to me. Well, tell them they're a blessing to you, because there's something about hearing it that does something good. Now stand with your heads bowed, please, and we're going to give an invitation here. And man, I just love you, and you listen so well, and you're so kind, and you're so encouraging to me, and I thank you for that. I love this pastor. I'll tell you, I'm just so thankful for them, and God's given us the Williams who go clear back, Valerie, to when she was a baby. And all through the years, they've encouraged me. And you're so good. You reflect goodness in this church. You are a loving church. I told Loretta last night on the phone. I said, honey, this is a group of people that love each other and they love God, and they're good. They're loving, and I love you for that. And God loves us when we have that kind of a testimony. Now I'm going to ask you to do this. First of all, if you're here and you cannot look back and remember the time and the place when you invited Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins and save your soul. Oh, I wish you would do that tonight. You could do that tonight. You need to know you're saved, folks. Listen, now listen. Are you still listening? Say amen. Amen. Listen now. It's shaping up for the big one. Hey, it's coming quick. Armageddon is, you say, well, I've heard that. No, yes, you have. Yeah, because it's been true. But I tell you what, Jesus said, look at the signs, and we've got them. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but we got them. It's got to be close. This tremendous event of the rapture when we're caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And if you're not saved, you will be left behind for the horrible tribulation period of 7 years. The first 3.5 years being called tribulation. The last 3.5 years, great tribulation. And you talk about hell. You talk about, you read Revelation and you'll see in those days that there'll be hell like men have never seen before and plagues like people have never seen before. Now, you don't want to be left with all of that. And the way to not be left is to know you're saved. And so if you're not saved, Please come to the pastor when we have the invitation in just a moment. Please come to the pastor and just tell him I want to be saved. That's all you have to say. And somebody very kindly and compassionately will guide you as you come to know Christ as your Savior, and you can be saved tonight. If you're here and you're saved and you need to get in the fellowship of a local church, you're not anchored like you need to be in a church, ask God to lead you. You couldn't do better than here, I promise you. If I lived in this area, this is where I'd be. This is exactly where I'd be. Just say, God, what do you want me to do? And if he wants you here, you're thinking right now, I need to take care of this tonight. Jesus is coming soon. Armageddon's on the way. I want to be found in God's... God designed it that we need to be in the church, fed through the church. You need the church, and the church needs you. Now, maybe everybody's anchored tonight. I don't know. I'm just saying what God's laying on my heart. That's all I can do. And then Christians, some of us here tonight, now listen, you say, I don't have to come to an altar. No, you don't. You can do it right where you're standing, and I praise God for it. But I'll tell you what, there's something about getting on our knees before God. It's not enough of it anymore. And get up at these old-fashioned, tear-stained places of prayer up here and get on our knees. Some of us need to do it and start thanking God for how good he's been to us, and how even in the bad times, we want to be able to give thanks, pray with somebody or for somebody. So, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, while we have this invitation, may your will be done, and may Christians be the first to say, you know what, I want revival, and I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to thank God. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to thank him for my wife, my husband, my family. I'm going to thank him for my health. I'm going to thank him for everything, because I want to be a thankful Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. You come and slip out right now and come. For dear